Blog Talk Radio.
Digital Mister! Hey, what I said, sir! Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir! Woo! Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister! No, no, no. I said, yeah!
I said, yeah!
Clarendon Connection with your host, Pastor Cameron. And just giving God all the praise and honor and glory. And this Wednesday night, the second day of September, in the year for our Lord 2020, we give all praise to the King of Glory. In Him we live and move and have our beam. And in Jamaica we say, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guard us with thy mighty hand. Keep us free from evil powers. Be your light through countless hours. To our leaders, great defender, grant your wisdom from above. Justice should be yours forever. Jamaica, land we love. Wherever you are, we continue to give him praise for all his excellent mercy. Pastor Cameron and Dr. Houghton. Greg, are you there, Doc? Are you there, Doc? Dr. Houghton, are you there? We continue to trust in the true and living God for his goodness. You see where the coronavirus has taken over, especially in Jamaica, where figures have gone way up. And today, Our figure stands at 2,683. 24 dead, 898 as recovered. So in the last couple of days, more than 1,000 has been added. But we must continue to trust in the Lord for his goodness. And also as the figures for the worldwide has gone up. Figures worldwide now stands at 25,932,000. And 861,871 dead, and over 18 million has recovered. So 25 million people worldwide has been affected by this pandemic. And who knows where will it end? Dr. Horton, are you there? Truly, we continue to trust in him for his goodness and his mercy. Studio, you there, studio? Studio, if you're hearing me, take a break, studio. Take a break. We are back on the Clarendon Connection. We are still trusting in the true living God. And we are hoping that our guest, Dr. Gregory Horton, will make it to the show this evening. But right now we are on the eve of, in Jamaica, of another general election. And we have over 139 candidates. And this is interesting because there are two major political parties and each submitted 63 candidates. So there were 18 independent candidates. So the sure it will affect the outcome of the election. I know from past experience, a third party have never won a seat. So as I know, in the House of Parliament. So with so much independent candidate stepping up, it is also good for democracy because people are not getting to share their views. From way back from 1944, Jamaica has just two major political parties, the People's National Party and the Labour Party. And then back in the 70s, there was a party that was called the WPJ, the Workers' Party of Jamaica. And that was party that was run by Dr. Trevor Manro. They were like, they were what we call the Communist Party. But, you know, after a while they phase out, and then we have the NDM that was headed by former JLP leader and Prime Minister Bruce Golden. So tomorrow, 63 candidates from the PNP, which is the People's National Party, and their leader is the Honorable Dr. Peter Phillips. And then 63 also will be from the Jamaica Labour Party, and which is headed by our current Prime Minister, the Honorable Andrew Holness. And there are thousands of polling divisions where Jamaicans will be going out tomorrow to vote for their candidate as well as their party. One vote will go for the candidate and for the party, with the majority will become the next government. We had gone through a week where we see many political both parties debating on national television, with the JLP doing 3 debates and the PNP doing 3. And the last debate was between the Honorable Andrew Holness and Dr. Peter Phillips. And I believe there is no all-out winner. Every vote tomorrow is necessary. Every vote will be counted. So I know they have run many polls, and you know they are showing all types of predictions. But I believe tomorrow there will be surprises. But we're hoping for a free and fair election. Jamaica, as I said, has gone through, this is our 18th general election. Democracy is alive and well in Jamaica. We had never had a coup. We're one of the very few countries that has embraced democracy. And we are glad for that. Jamaica became independent in 1962. 6th of August, we were colonized by both Spain and Britain. We were first colonized by Spain when Columbus landed here in 1494 in St. Anne, a place called Jayaba, now called Discovery Bay. And then we were ruled under the Spaniards from 1494 to 1655 when the English came and they conquered the Spaniards and the English. We became an English colony. So we were both ruled by the English and the Spanish. The English ruled from 1655 to 1962, where we became an independent nation. So the British flag called the Union Jack was taken down, and our own flag, which is the black, green, and gold. Black signifies hardship. Green, fertility of the land, and the gold for the sunshine. And we have impacted the world in more ways than one. And I was hoping Dr. Arton would be on, because one of the men who really, one Jamaican who really impacted the world is Usain Bolt. Man with over 20 medals, 20 gold medals. Dominated Beijing. Dominated England. Wherever he runs, he dominates. But he's now inflicted by this pandemic. The news say when this birthday party, and a lot of them were there, including Leon Bailey and Raheem Sterling, and they have to be isolated, they have to be under quarantine now. Usain Bolt, it was published all over the papers that he is in fact infected with this coronavirus. So we have to be praying for him. And not only Usain Bolt is infected with this coronavirus, another great musician, the man who I used to start the show, Toots, is very sick in hospital. They say he's battling, the newspaper said he's battling for his life, because Toots has been infected with this coronavirus too as well. And a lot of prominent Jamaicans during the course of this week and last week were infected with this virus. The PNP General Secretary, Julian Robinson, was infected. The political ombudsman, Donna Parchment, she was infected by this coronavirus. And people from the Jamaica Labour Party, like the mayor of St. Mary, also the one of the MP from St. Mary, Bobby Montague, they have been affected, and Jamaica figure just keeps on climbing. 2,600 and climbing. And today's figures has not yet come in. These are the figures from Tuesday. These are Tuesday's figures I'm reading. So tonight we get in today's figure. And Jamaica keep on climbing, because yesterday 224 was added. The day before 102, then 244. So in space of a couple of days, over 500. To where Jamaica is really in a bad state. And it's because of the Emancipation celebration. And then last week we had the nomination day. That bring crowds again. And tomorrow, people are still concerned, because tomorrow will be our general election, and that is going to bring crowd. And the sad thing about it, some people can't regard for wearing of masks. can't regard for social distancing. You can see them jollificating and the parades, motorcades that going all around. We need to take heed. Dr. Gregory Harden, how are you doing? Are you hearing me, Dr. Harden?
Yes, I'm saying I'm happy to be here. God is good to me. I cannot complain.
Amen. 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 In these times, these
how about you?
Times.
I know you have an election in your time zone tomorrow. I hope you stay
yes,
safe, you know, because
tomorrow.
Yes, yes. I've been looking at the news and, you know, I am a bit worried because I see where people are getting into the fever and I don't think they are making sure that they test their blood pressure. And, you know, it's a little stressful for me just to think about it because, you know, we keep getting more of the same. Sometimes it just packaged in a different package, so to speak. You know, but if you really go deep and look at the numbers, you realize that a whole lot more need to be done. And because we're not looking closely at the results, we are settling for less, and less can be disappointing. So I really hope that wherever you are, because we have an election coming up soon in the United States, wherever you are, don't be fooled by these tricksters, man, because they are very good magicians. 1 minute they tell you it's here and it is over there, and 1 minute they tell you it's there and it's over here. So as a people, we have to be careful. We have to be wise and not otherwise.
Yes, Dr. Harden, we have also seen in the news where, you know, Usain Bolt went to his 34th birthday party and end up with infected with coronavirus, and some of the celebrities that were there, like Raheem Sterling, who he plays for Manchester United, and Leon Bailey, another celebrity footballer. They both caught the coronavirus. As a matter of fact, they are now in quarantine. We haven't heard much about Bolt, how his recovery is staying, but a lot of, you know, top Jamaicans have been infected with this virus. What is your take on this matter?
I am very disappointed, you know. I'm disappointed in Usain Bolt for that reckless behavior. Sterling as well as Bailey. Because these young men have such a bright future ahead of them. And for them to hear the warning and did not slow down, but instead step on the gas, it is truly disappointing. You would have expected people like the Usain Bolt and Bailey and Sterling to be vocal in encouraging young people, especially in a time like this, to be careful. You know, to look before you leap. But when you saw what was posted on social media and the fact that these young men were enjoying themselves and the lion was about to attack, I say that we as the elders need to do more to educate these young people, to let them know that fun, there's a time and there's a place for everything. And you need to think before you act. You know, and this is one of the things that we are seeing now in, not just in Jamaica, but all over the world, where young people are jumping, leaping before they actually look where they're going to land. And this is why we are losing so many of our talented people. Because if we as the elders don't step up to the plate, how can we expect the younger ones to get it, you know? So I'm extremely disappointed with how they conducted themselves in a time like this.
And as I said before, it's not just them alone, because even the political ombudsman, which is a woman, Donna Parchment, she has contracted this virus. And Toots, you know, is a great musician and singer, performer. Toots is also, matter of fact, the news say that Toots is battling for life, you know.
Mm.
It's not something that we can take lightly. We see even politicians, you know, Bobby Matthew and Weasley and the mayor of St. Mary, they contracted the virus. And over on the PMP side, Julian Robinson, who is the general secretary for the People's National Party, he has also contracted the virus. So you know, I do not know. People seem to be not taking this virus very serious. I guess, you know, some of them are listening to Mr. Trump.
Dr. Cameron, some of us, based on our professions, we might need to be out there in the public domain. And, you know, if you're a politician, especially in a time like this, I can understand you mingling with the people, because this is what you do. If you're a physician, I would expect you to be out there mingling with people. But at the end of the day, it is up to you to make sure that you properly protect yourself. You know, they say wear a mask. If you need to wear a face mask along with your mask, if you have to mingle with people, then you need to do so. You know, because the life that you save might just be your own. That's what they say. Because when you are infected, just like, say, for example, evil Usain Bolt, he has a baby that he enjoys being around. So the man who thinks about his family should make it a priority to take care of himself or herself. It is love that will make a person want to take a proactive stance or a proactive approach to make sure that they are safe. Because one of the worst things you can do is to bring home a virus and introduce it to your entire household.
Boy, these men sometimes, you know, the Bible, it's to be anxious for nothing, and these men, they have not taken the necessary, well, some of them have not taken the necessary precaution, and you know, the especially in Jamaica, it is breaking out, because as I said, within a couple of days, you know, we had 500. Within 3 days, it's gone over 500, and within less than a week, we've gone over 1,000. We have never had so many added in one day. We had 220 added in one day, and next day had 240 added. You know, so Jamaica figure is skyrocketing, and also the hospitals are overwhelmed, because they say University Hospital and KPH and a lot of the doctors and the nurses are coming down with the virus. So something is just not right.
You see, the love of money, you know, sometimes can lead to a lot of evil. And I do understand that the government had to open up the country because they need the tourist dollars, and you can't close up the country forever. But you're looking at a place, say, for example, the United States, and the U.S. citizens can travel freely to some parts of the world. And you see here where people are traveling around from one state to the next state. They're not wearing any face masks because they're trying to make a point. And many of these people are traveling to the islands. You see, I heard the Prime Minister make it a statement that we all will need to learn how to live with this virus. But there is a time and there's a place. And there is also ways that you can do to make sure that the people are not catching this virus faster than usual. Because it's when you expose many to the virus, especially in a place like Jamaica, where they don't have the resources, they don't have the hospitals, they don't have the tools, they don't have the personnel to deal with a virus when there is a major outbreak. So even though they're trying their very best to monitor this thing, it can get out of hand, because when you now allow people to enter from an area that is already infected, and the people are taking the test last week because they have to travel in 2 weeks' time, these individuals can go and mingle with other people who have the virus. So these are the people who are bringing the virus into the country, because it's like a free-for-all now, you know? So I do understand that we all have to adjust ourselves, our lifestyle, to accommodate this virus. But there is a way to do it. You can't allow the virus to be exposed to everybody at the same time, you know? And you can't love money more than lives. You know, you can open it up slowly but surely, but don't cause of money, monetary gains, you make a decision that is not in the best interest of the people.
But Dr. Orton, the gains that the government are the rewards that they intend to reap from tourism, it has not materialized. The newspaper yesterday said that tourism earnings has dropped by 84%. Now, you open up to make $100. But right now, you're making less than $15. So you have lost. It's a total loss. So your intention, you know, it was just a wrong motive, because they feel that Jamaica cannot survive without the U.S. dollars coming into the tourism market, which will in turn help the government revenue. But U.S. is not the only country. They could have, I'm sure, if they had shut down the U.S. market, we would not be in this state, because they know that when they did the survey, most of the imported cases are coming from the U.S. That's where most of the imported cases are coming in from the U.S.
It is, because you see the U.S. leader now. He's not disciplined. He's not organized. In fact, it appears to me that he don't even know how to contain this. Now, the best example we have to look at is New York City. You know, the governor in New York City worked, you know, and then once he had the virus under control, he implemented rules for the individuals, for the people, rules for the businesses, rules for the schools and other institutions, rules that will govern public spaces. And that's what you have to do. You know, what I see here in Florida, and them saying, no, it's all over the Midwest where you still have football games. They're packing up 25 bus load of people, taking them to the football game. And these are not old people. These are young people who will party before and they will party after. That is the danger. They're not responsible people. And these same individuals now are taking the virus with them and they are entering the country. And then we now believe that we must live with this virus, and because of that, we slacken the border. Now people can enter at will. What else is going to happen? It's an easy prediction. This one is a no-brainer. This one is a no-brainer. And this is why we need leaders who are for the people and don't appear to be for the people, but in reality they are not.
Well, tomorrow in Jamaica, the people will be going out, and then by 7 o'clock, we will know what is their choice. Because they have seen both parties have published their manifestos, what they will do and what they will do and what they will not do. So the people will make a choice tomorrow. It will be an interesting election. You know, an interesting general election, because they are not just JLP and PNP alone in this election. There are over 18 independent candidates. And they will make a difference, because I have seen an election where 13 votes or one vote can make a difference. So if whenever a third party gets in the race, it will swing the counts of the votes. So whenever a third party gets in the race, it's not just between the JLP and the PNP. That independent candidate is going to take away votes that would, in previous circumstances, that vote would come to the JLP candidate or to the PNP candidate. And that can alter the result of the election. The interesting thing to note also is that a third party has never been successful in an election in Jamaica. Third party, Jamaica, you know, I have seen a lot of third party rise up and they just fade away. I think the strongest third party I have seen is the WPJ and the NDM. But we see in this election, a lot of independent candidates have risen up. And so tomorrow's result is going to be interesting, especially among that those 18 seats that those independent will be showing their hats into the ring. But the other interesting thing about tomorrow also is that they are saying that people who are infected with coronavirus, they can come out and vote. Because the law is, if you are infected with coronavirus, you should not be seen in public. You should isolate yourself, and if the police see you, they have the right to arrest you. It is an offense. But yet still for tomorrow election, people with known infection of the coronavirus, they can go to polling stations and cast their vote. I believe they should stay home, but then I do not make these decisions. So I am wondering, we have to just be in a position where we just hope for the best.
Well, I think that if it's an election, you see, in the United States, they have mail-in ballots. So if you have the corona and you're afraid to go out in public to infect others, that you can mail in your ballot and it would still be counted. In Jamaica, I don't think we have any rules and guidelines to this unless we make it up as we go. But I think that if people are identified with the virus, then there are precautions that you can take, because if you're in the hospital and you have the virus, there are precautions that doctors and nurses can take to make sure that they are protected. The thing is if you have people who have the virus and no one knows, and they go to mingle with people, and this is why I would say to Jamaica on a whole that during this time, you need to protect yourself. You don't shake hands, you don't hug up people. You know, you have to do what you need to do to survive. So I think that these people should be able to vote. I think that these people should protect themselves when they go to vote. You know, because as you say, every ballot, every vote counts. And if you want to be a part of the solution, then you need the opportunity to vote. But what I want to say, Dr. Cameron, and I hope it is not too late, and I hope that we all as Jamaicans can learn from this, because I was watching these debates, you know, and I asked myself, is it that the moderators are picking easy questions for the debaters? Because some of the social issues I was hoping that they would touch on. You know? A lot of these things.
Well,
the insects.
The moderators. I don't think. Dr. Arn.
Yes, ma'am.
The questions are asked by journalists. And these questions don't come through the moderator. The journalists prepare the questions. And then the moderator just instruct them when to ask it. So I was watching it also, and they were saying that the journalists are the one who chooses the question to ask. So the responsibility would be on the journalist to you know choose the proper question. But some of them I see some of them really ask some tough questions.
You know, Dr. Cameron, and this is real talk now, you know, that I was having a discussion with a friend, and when I used to go to Jamaica, even recently, I went down to some of the lowest part of the earth, or the lowest part of the community where people are living way below the poverty means, the poverty lines. And what I was explaining to this gentleman, he was saying to me that where he sits, he cannot relate to that, because when he looked at people's bank statement based on what he does for a living, he did not see what I was saying to him. And when the people on the ground were explaining it to me, and when I was seeing things for myself, I'm saying that there's a total disconnect. You have two Jamaica. One where nobody knows
right.
What's going on over there. These people have no education, no skill, and these are the people who are turning to crime. Where are the fathers? What are we doing to make sure that there are more fathers? Because every time you hear about a gunman, ask about his father. Where is his father? What is the country doing to make sure that some of these young men get some of the early mentoring before they turn to a life of crime? These are some of the things that we need. The money that they're putting in things like Zozo and SOE, if we put half of that money truly devoted to getting some of these young people counseling and getting some of these young people good mentors and turning them away, do things to promote fathers in their lives, because it's the absence of fathers that are destroying the communities, not just in Jamaica, but even in America, but because we are Jamaicans and it's a smaller place, we can solve that problem. We are the fathers. What are we doing? We can't just keep kicking the can down the street. You can't have single mothers raising. If you look at most of the issues that is affecting Jamaica now, the single mothers need help. It says, when you look at the study, that if you have a household where the father alone is raising the kids, that household can be just as effective as a husband and wife raising their kids. But when you look at a mother, and I'm not taking anything away from mothers, you know, but I'm saying that it is important. Anytime you want to destroy a community, you take away the fathers, because a predator will not try to seek meal from a home when they know that a man is in the house. The father is the one who protects. The father is the one who guides. The father is the one who educates. The father is the one who... The father is important in the life, not just of the child, but also of the woman. And this is something, if Jamaica want to turn the corner on this one, they need to do more to make sure that fathers are in the lives of their children.
Because I don't know if you know of the shooting incident that took place in Maypin a couple of weeks ago. The man who had the gang, he was a teenager, you know, 18-year-old, you know. And I think the oldest one is 26. And he just graduated from Clarendon College.
And yes, these, I saw that.
And a lot of people are shocked at the to know that this guy was going to an high school and he's doing very well. So it's not a lack of education. He was doing very well. He had passed so many CXC. But nobody knew what he was going through, or nobody knows what he was doing. And now we are hearing on the news that they rape a 13-year-old girl, and is when she realized that they were dead that she decided to speak. So these men operate recklessly, and people who they have done these criminal acts to are afraid to speak out. So a lot of people don't even know what is happening, the doings of these criminals. I remember there was a gang operating and I think Fitz Bailey, I think it's ACP Fitz Bailey, he had the crime task thing, and they caught a lot of them, and I don't know, some lawyer went on and get a lot of them off the case. The judge have to let go of them because poor investigation, poor evidence, and lawyers do it. Some lawyers do anything for money. And these men are criminals, and they went away, they got away scot-free. So a lot of the ills is right within the society. But because they are overlooked, they germinate and they take root, and that's why sometimes we end up with these hardened criminals.
You know,
and that's one of the problems we are having.
It is true. No, there's also another story about the young lady walking home, and she was pounced upon by a group of gunmen, and they were forcing her to get into the car. And shortly, or while they were doing it, her father was driving by and saw what was going on and started to chase away the guys. Unfortunately, the guys turned the gun on the father, and the daughter got away. You know, many of those young men follow company. I know them. You know, many of these young men are looking for a better way, and they are attracted to the people who seem like they're living a good life. You know, it is said that one of the easiest way for these dons and so on to recruit some of these young men is by having these holiday treats. You know, you see the dons them put on some treats, especially now back to school. And when you see these things in your community, you are pleased because what it says, that they care for the young men. And it is said, written in the Gleaner, that it is the easiest way for dons to recruit young men. Because when you see the dons putting on these treats, giving you school bags, school book, pen, paper, ice cream, you want to be the next don so you can put on these treats. But it is a disguise. This is what you call charity tricks. Politicians do it too. They come around during a certain time. They offer you this and them offer you that. And then you don't see them again till another 3.5 years. Why does it seem like everybody want to play tricks on the people? And this is why I say that one must elevate themselves with knowledge. When a father is knowledgeable, he can protect, he can guide. You know? And this is why we need strong men in the community again. I remember, no matter who you are, when a man in the community speaks, you listen if you're a boy. That was a level of respect. You know? We don't have that anymore. We don't have that anymore. And I can say this, Dr. Cameron, if we sit by and don't do nothing, it will never change, because I've never seen a system fix itself unless somebody rises to the occasion. We have to demand
but
change.
Is not only the dons are setting a bad example. You know? Even some of the very politicians, you know, they are corruptors, you know, sir.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, Dr. Cameron, I want you to look at it this way. The politicians are doing what they were sent to do, right? Anywhere in the country you go, you find that politicians' duty is to con the people, trick the people, pretend that they're doing something when they're not doing anything. That is their life's work. That's what they work to achieve. It is telling you that an honest politician is not a good one. It's obvious, all your experience, if you come in contact with 100 politicians, you're fortunate if you come out with 10 to say, these 10 individuals, they were honest, they had integrity, they were honest, whatever they said they were going to do, they did it. You don't get that. You don't get that. They pretend to love and care, but their action, and this is why result is the name of the game. And we have to hold them accountable. You know, we have to know their purpose. No, it's different, you know. It's different when you're a father. You know your purpose as a father. Your goal is not to trick and con your kids. But we know politicians is tricking and conning the people because they have a track record. If you don't believe me, go back and look at all the politicians and look what they said and look what they did. The proof is in the pudding, man.
That's what I'm saying. But no politician has put in their manifesto that, you know, corruption. But at the end of the day, that is one of their biggest downfalls. So the people are the ones to be blamed because they're not accountability.
You always will blame the people. But at the end of the day, the people were conditioned, just like how you condition a lamb to be slaughtered. The people were conditioned like this from an early age. This is what they know. You see, Brother Cameron, if most of the people in Jamaica were like us in terms of how they think, you would have to find politicians, visit our home, sit with us, and they had to be honest, because we would make sure that what they say, they will do, and we will make sure, because one thing with human beings, you know, your track record will always follow you. As Bob Marley made it clear, he said, you can't run away from yourself. So anything the man did in St. Mary, the record is there. If he won his seat and did nothing, the record is there. And we should hold them accountable, not by what they say, but what they do or didn't do. That's what we must do. It's not, but in Jamaica, it's a name recognition. As long as you have a big name, a popular name, you don't have to do nothing. Nothing at all you don't have to do. Absolutely nothing.
Well, tomorrow the 18th general election will be on, and we are just, I am just hoping that the because previous election, the election that was held in 2016, we have seen one of the lowest voters turnout. And I'm sure it was below 50%. As a matter of fact, it was 46%. So we don't know what tomorrow turnout will be like. But we know that the Lord have the answer already. Know who is going to win. And all we can say, may the better man win.
God knows what's best. You know, victory is mine. So we just hope that at the end of the day, whosoever control the reins, that they will do good for the people. And even if they take 90%, even if they're giving back 10%, it's better than nothing. That's what my mother would say. It's better than nothing.
Well, this has been the Clarendon Connection for this week. We're going to be back here next week, and we will bring the result of the election tomorrow. And we just pray and continue to trust in God that he will see us through, and we continue to feast upon his word. Because you know, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. So I want to thank Dr. Orton for being my guest tonight. And we just continue to spread the good news to people. Because in a time like this, when people are down, they need to know that there is a Savior. God bless you. See you same time next week on the Clarendon Connection. Take it away, studio.